number. Please take your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, imagine for me this morning, maybe I preached a little extra long, and for some reason the people heading down to Israel, heading over to Israel, down to Chicago to catch their flight, maybe running a little behind schedule, and they can just see the message is going to go long, so they bring, call the local Chevy dealership or something, and they decide we're going to bring a few Corvettes over so we can make sure we, get you down there in good timing, and you might run a chance of getting pulled over or something, but get down there in good timing, and they bring them over here to the church, and you see these Corvettes coming over, and they're bringing them over on, maybe a flatbed or a semi truck. They need a few of them, and you're wondering, why don't they just drive them over just from the dealership in just a couple of minutes down the road? And so everyone gets in there, they pile all their luggage in the back seat, and they're going to need a number of cars to get them all down there, I guess. So, anyways, do they even have a back seat in a Corvette? I don't know. I think they do. Anyways, I did drive one time when I was on choir tour, and we stayed at a man's house, and he had a 1977 Corvette, and he let us take it out and go around town with it, drive around with it. But anyways, maybe you got all your stuff piled in there, and boy, you're just thinking, boy, this is going to be a great ride down there. Wasn't expecting this. And you go to start it, and there's no sound. And there's still no sound. You're like, well, maybe the battery's dead or something. We need a jump. You go pop open the hood, and there's no engine inside these cars. You're like, well, what good is this nice fancy car? There's no engine here. You're missing the what? Well, you're missing the main thing. The engine's gone. Imagine if maybe you were, having the summer season's coming upon us, and Memorial Day or 4th of July, and maybe you're having a big get-together and everyone's coming over and you're going to play some softball, or maybe you're going to play some football or something like that. Maybe it's soccer. And you get everyone together, you're going to play this game of soccer, and you have relatives coming from all over the place, and they're coming especially for this game of soccer. You show up and no one has a ball. What are you going to do? You're not going to be able to do it. Well, sometimes that's how we operate in Christianity. We are trying to live the Christian life, but we're missing the main thing. And the main thing that we're missing is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ must have the preeminence in all that we say and do. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no message. And today we're going to look at two areas that the Lord Jesus Christ must have the preeminence in. Two areas that the Lord Jesus Christ must be the central theme of what we are doing. And the first area we're going to look at is that Jesus Christ must be the central theme of our message. The Lord Jesus Christ must be the central theme of our message. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not have Christianity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we looked at some of these verses a while back, but we're going to look at especially verse number 5 this morning. It says, "For we preach," in verse number 5, "for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." We find that the main theme of the message of the Apostle Paul was Christ Jesus the Lord. How can this message be hindered from coming forth in our lives, in our proclamation? Well, there are some different ways we see here in this passage. Verse number 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them." The devil wants us to be hindered from proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that has the power to set people free from their darkness. Notice what it says in verse number 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in what? In who? In the face of Jesus Christ." It is the Lord Jesus Christ that can set people free from their darkness. Verse number 4, the end of it, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan is going to seek to hinder us from proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, the believers are warned about those that would come in and seek to spoil them. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, notice what it says. It says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Philosophy and vain deceit. So this system of teaching and vain deceit. And notice what kind of philosophy. You're after the what? The tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So after the tradition of men, a system that men have put in place rather than that God has put in place. You think of the Jewish system that maybe they had put, some of the laws that they had put in place, and they were seeking to the different laws and ordinances and things that maybe they put in place that were beyond what the Word of God had established. So things that were after the tradition of men, but then it says after the rudiments of the world. The idea of rudiments is the basic components of something. So here it says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you." The tradition of men after the rudiments or the basic components of the world, and not after Christ. You know, well, what is this world? Well, it's a system that's what? Really designed to lead in rebellion against God. You know, it says in verse number 4 of 2 Corinthians, it talks about in whom the what? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And we are facing an enemy in the giving forth of our message of Jesus Christ, and that enemy is Satan, who is seeking to blind people. And what does that mean about our message? Well, one thing it means about our message is that we need to make sure that our message is crystal clear in what we are proclaiming. The Apostle Paul talked about how he would use great plainness of speech in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." We need to be clear in the message that we are proclaiming about Christ, because Satan is trying to blind people. Satan is seeking to get people off track. He wants people to get off on, you know, some bunny trail. He wants people to get off on some false philosophy. You know, whether it's evolution. I mean, if you've gone out door-to-door soul winning, you've probably very much, maybe you've gotten into a conversation about somebody on evolution. What's Satan doing with evolution? Well, he's seeking to get people involved in something that is going to direct them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan is blinding people to the central theme of our message, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We find, though, that not only can our message be hindered by Satan, but our message can also be hindered by self. Notice what it says in verse number 3. He says, "For we preach what? We preach not ourselves." What can get in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ being proclaimed in our message? Well, it's us. You know, you think of some of these, as for example, some of these big preachers that are out there. You know, and what is their whole ministry about in a way? Well, it's about themselves. You know, I think maybe an example of this would be, the story about Benny Hinn. I think he, one of those healers, that, supposed healers that was out there. And, when a reporter came to find out what was going on at this service, and this reporter started picking up these, some kind of frequencies that were going on there, and picked them up and found out that there was, somebody, he would be standing up there saying, there's somebody here that's got, such and such an ailment. And that person would be like, whoa, how does he know about what I have? Or probably what they'd be thinking. Well, he had somebody in the back, kind of collecting information on different people. And then he had like a, receiver or something in his ear, I think. And the person in the back would be feeding this information to him so he could stand up there and point out the different people, in the audience without ever having talked to them and, what their problems were. And, people what? I don't know how much money he's gotten from people, but you hear about some of these, preachers on the TV, and what are they looking for? Well, looking for people's money. Looking to, build up maybe their own personal fame, their own personal fortune. And what does that do? Well, it turns people away from who? Turns people away from Christ. Have you ever met somebody that says, well, Christianity, that's just a bunch of hypocrisy? And why do they say that? Because people have focused their message on themselves, and self has gotten in the way, and instead of people seeing Christ, who do they see? Well, they see people. And when you see people, what are you going to see? You're not going to see a clear representation of righteousness. You're going to see hypocrisy. You're going to see these things. And Satan is seeking to use these things to direct people away from that which is going to set them free from their blindness relating to Christ. So we need to make sure that the exaltation of self does not get in the way of the proclamation of this message. And the Apostle Paul clearly stated, we preach not ourselves. Self can get in the way of this message being proclaimed. It could be that it's not a proclamation of ourselves, so to speak, but maybe it's some other issue in ourselves that is hindering us from proclaiming that message. Today, who is your message about? Is your message about you? Is your life about you? Are your actions about you? We live in a self-centered society today where everything is about us. Everything is about making ourselves feel good. But for Paul, his life was about the Lord Jesus Christ, and his message specifically was about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 3, in verse number 13, it says, verse 12 and 13, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in what? In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest what? Lest any of you be hardened. Through the what? The deceitfulness of sin. What's one of the things Satan's going to use to hinder people? Well, that's sin. Why? Well, sin is what? It says the deceitfulness of sin. Sin darkens our mind. It hinders our understanding. And if you're a believer today, we need to make sure that sin doesn't get into our life and hinder us from proclaiming the message of Christ in an unadulterated fashion. It hardens our hearts. It darkens our understanding. So there are ways that it will be hindered. But we find, how can this take place? That the Lord Jesus Christ can be uplifted in our message. Well, one thing we see is, it says here, verse, the word here, for we preach not ourselves. And the word preach there is the word keruso, to publicly proclaim, to make an official announcement by an official herald. You know, Paul was not standing in the dark. You know, boy, I don't want people to, you know, wonder what I'm all about. No, he was publicly proclaiming, publicly heralding Christ. And one way that we can preach Christ is by publicly proclaiming who he is. Are we preaching the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a public proclamation of that message? I thought we can, you know, we could go through, and we're going to do this, a number of ways that we can see this message exemplified in the New Testament. And we're going to go through a number of verses and say, you know, how did this proclamation take place? How did the message of Christ go forth? You know, the Apostle Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So let's look at some verses on how they publicly proclaimed Christ. We'll begin in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 36. And here we have Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So who is he proclaiming here? He is proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. That same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, how did he do that? Well, if you go before in this passage, he takes them what? To the Word of God. And he talks about verse number 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, and that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. He went to the Old Testament, and he showed them who Jesus was. Notice the great plainness of speech that he used with those people on that day. You know, he didn't beat around the bush. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know, the apostle Peter here wasn't afraid to say it like it was. You know, notice what he says. He said, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom what? Whom ye have crucified. Both what? Both Lord and Christ. And he plainly declared that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. He didn't kind of try to cover up things that would maybe make them feel a little bad. You know, whom ye have crucified. You know, he had to what? They had to be brought to the conviction of their sin. They had to be brought to the conviction of who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And that was the theme of the message of Peter. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. We're going to go to a number of passages here in the book of Acts, but Acts chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. Notice here Paul's in the synagogue of the Jews. In verse 2 it says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the what? Out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Now, if we think back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what did he proclaim? He proclaimed unto them what? Christ Jesus. That Jesus was what? The Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Anointed One. And that is what he is proclaiming to them here in this passage, using the Word of God to what? To proclaim who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, that was the theme of his message, is Christ. And what was the result? It says, and some of them believed. Now, how can we get people? I mean, it's obviously only a logical thing, but how can you get people to believe on Christ if Jesus Christ isn't the message that you are proclaiming? We need to be clear in our proclamation. That is the central focus of what our message should be. So he went to the Old Testament scriptures to proclaim who Christ was. In Acts chapter 19, here he talks about the witness of John the Baptist to these people, the disciples that were not disciples, but people that were had only heard of the baptism of John, and they didn't maybe have a clear understanding of what it was all about. In verse 4, he says, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And what did Paul do? He pointed them to the one who ought to be the central theme of their message. They missed it. They missed who John the Baptist was pointing them to. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Well, yeah, Acts chapter 13. And there's a number of verses we can read here. Verse number 23 says, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. It says, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So again, he is appealing to the witness here of John the Baptist. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now let's skip down to verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it therefore known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Again, notice the central theme of their message, the Lord Jesus Christ. Using the Word of God to point people to Christ. I mean, you can go through a number of verses. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 10. It says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. I wonder, could people say that about your message, that they heard the word of the Lord Jesus? Acts chapter 20, verses 20 through 21. It says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." We find the theme of their message, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they preached that Jesus was the Christ. They preached that Jesus Christ was Lord. "This same Jesus whom ye have crucified, he hath made both Lord and Christ." You know, are we really proclaiming who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Have we gotten a little off focus in our message and have forgotten that the central theme of our message to this lost and dying world is the Lord Jesus Christ? Now let us not forget that in the Gospel of John, John chapter 12, you know, it doesn't mean we don't preach against sin. No, that's pointing people to who? To Jesus Christ. Remember the Gospel of John chapter 12, it says, and what? Whose glory did Isaiah see? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy God of heaven. Are we really proclaiming who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Is that the central theme of our message? You know, Paul preached it all. He didn't keep some things back. He says in verse 27, "For I have not shunned," in Acts 20, 27, "for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You know, it's interesting. Even in his message to believers, in verse number 35, notice how he pointed them to the Lord Jesus. He says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak." Why should they support the weak? It says, "And to what? Remember the words of" who? "The Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Here again, we find the message focused on Christ. You know, why should you give? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. We need to make sure that we are putting in front of people the words of our Lord and Savior. What message are they remembering? It must be the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. "For they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So we find there was a proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the central theme of their message. You know, the apostles had a lot of hindrances. You know, they had Satan seeking to blind men from the light of the gospel. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we need to be even more what? Clear in our giving out of the message. Because Satan wants to confuse. Satan wants to distract. But we need to keep on focus, recognizing that Satan wants to blind people from the message of Christ, because that is what is going to produce something in people's lives. You know, if we're going to stay focused on the message of Christ, we need to recognize the power of that message. We need to publicly proclaim it, but we need to recognize the power of that message. It says here in verse number 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You know, do we recognize this morning how glorious this message is that we have been given? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Salvation enlightens us. Salvation gives us real knowledge and understanding. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3 talks about Christ, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Do we recognize the power of the one who we are proclaiming? He is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. And this light, when it shines on a heart, can set them free from their spiritual darkness. The power of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the what? In the face of Jesus Christ. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that can reflect, that can show the knowledge, I should say, can show the knowledge of the glory of God. He is God's image. And that is who we must proclaim. Now, it does talk about how our lives can reflect, how we are changed into Christ's image. But we find that the message of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one that is to be uplifted. You know, do you recognize that power? Satan recognizes that power. And that's why he's doing everything he can to blind people from understanding. And this morning we need to grab a hold of the potency, the powerfulness of that message this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ. Are we making His image clear to a lost and dying world? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It is only salvation that can enlighten a person and bring them into a true knowledge and understanding of who God is. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Why can we publicly proclaim Christ? Well, it's because that message has taken a hold of our heart. And this morning, if the message of salvation, if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the theme of your life, His light must first shine in your heart. And until His light shines in your light, you are going to be spiritually blinded and are not going to proclaim His message like it ought to be proclaimed. But the Apostle Paul says that he was able. Why? Because the light hath shined in our hearts. You know what? If you are saved this morning, the light of God has shined in your heart. You know what? We have no excuse. We have been given the light. And when that light shines upon an individual, guess what? Something happens. You know, you go into a dark room and you turn on the light, there's a what? There's a transformation of that room just like that. You know, when the light of God shines down upon an individual and that person receives the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? There's something that takes place in that individual. There is now spiritual light that takes place. You know, there is something that's going to happen because the light of God has shined down upon that individual. You know, if you're not proclaiming Jesus Christ, then guess what? The light of God is not going to be shining down upon that individual that you are speaking with. Why? Because you're not proclaiming the one from whom the light shines. The Lord Jesus Christ must be the theme of our message. People must understand who He is. It is only through Him that spiritual light, that spiritual understanding can take place. He must be the theme of our message. And it must be a message that has, first of all, transformed our life. So we find that this message is publicly proclaimed. It is a message that we must recognize the power of. And it's a message that must be personalized. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only must the Lord Jesus Christ be the central theme of our message, but He also must be the central theme of our ministry. What does He say? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and what? Ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Notice the central theme of the Apostle Paul's ministry. Ourselves, your servants. Why? For Jesus' sake. You know, we don't serve in the church to get our name on, you know, a plaque. Boy, you know, if you're only living for, you know, 25 years of being a member of McQuonigal Baptist Church, you know, if that's what you're living for, you've missed it, folks. You know, we are what? We serve God for what? For Jesus' sake. You know, and if we can keep that in mind, that the reason we serve God is not to get the accolades of men, is not to be uplifted in the sight of others, not to be publicly recognized, but the reason we serve others is for the sake of Christ. That what? That the Lord Jesus Christ might be uplifted in their lives, just as He has been uplifted in our lives. And that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. He didn't travel about. He didn't go through all these persecutions. He didn't endure all these sufferings so that people could look at him and say, wow, look at that guy. You know, the Apostle Paul could have done that a lot of different ways if he wanted people just to look at him and say, wow. He wouldn't have had to go through all those persecutions. He wouldn't have had to go through all those different things. He could have done something else and probably had people look at him and say, wow. You know, but what would be the lasting impact of his ministry? You know, nothing. But the central focus of his ministry was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he served others. Why? Because he was serving Christ. He did it for the sake of Christ in those individuals' lives, that their lives would be built up in Christ. In Romans chapter 16, it talks about some, you know, people who serve. Now, one way we can serve Christ is by serving in the church. One way we can serve Christ is by serving others who are serving Christ. And in Romans 16:1, Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. All right, so here was a lady who was busily serving. Verse number 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my what? My helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also, what? All the churches of the Gentiles. And how they had given of themselves to help the Apostle Paul, what impact had it made? Well, that impact had what? Blessed all the other churches, it said. And not only did I give thanks, and I don't, you know, they probably had served in these churches as well, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Obviously, their life had impacted who? The Apostle Paul. And by extension, the Apostle Paul's life had impacted who? All these other people. Serving. Not, you know, we can say, well, man, I wish I was, you know, that person doing that. Boy, they're getting a whole lot more recognition than I am. But what's it all about? It's about promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever way God can use us to promote Him in people's lives is what we need to be doing. The central theme of our ministry must be Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And when the central theme of our ministry is the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we do has what? Lasting impact. It's not in vain. It's not emptiness. It's not for nothing. It's not for naught. But there is a lasting impact that has been made because our service is based upon the fact that we are doing it for the sake of Christ and not for anything else. Now, I wonder this morning, you know, I know how easy it can be for our service to turn into something that's about us. You know, it can be so easy for our message to turn into something about what are people going to think, you know, about what I'm saying. Instead of focusing on, is my message truly pointing people to Christ? Is my message truly proclaiming who He is? You know, how many people have I impacted for Christ? You know, how many people have I boldly and plainly declared the message of Christ to? You know, what is getting in the way of that message being proclaimed? Obviously, the Apostle Paul knew the Word of God. Because he knew the Word of God, he was able to what? He was able to proclaim Christ. And maybe today you need to get in the Word of God and you need to know who Jesus Christ is in a greater light, so that light can be given out in greater detail to those that you are speaking with. You know, maybe today it's in the area of service and your service has been something that has been done for yourself rather than for the sake of Christ. And this morning, your service needs to be refocused. And maybe that joy hasn't been there because it's been focused on something else. You know, today, if we will recognize what the Lord Jesus Christ can do, I'd like to close with a few verses from Isaiah. Isaiah 11, verse 10. Speaking of, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Think of that. His rest shall be what? Shall be glorious. This is the one that we are proclaiming. You know, we live in an unrestful, we live in a society that is lacking peace. Well, who do they need to turn to? They need to turn to Christ. His rest shall be glorious. You think of chapter 12, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." This is the one who we are to proclaim, the one who can bring joy, the one who can bring song, the one who can bring strength to a person's heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to water down the message. We can boldly proclaim him for who he is. And we need to make sure that we get ourselves out of the way. We need to make sure that we get our ambitions out of the way. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, that the one that is not only being exalted in our message, but also the one that is being exalted in our ministry. And if we will get this morning a vision, an understanding of who He is and what He can accomplish, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those that we are seeking to minister to, it can reinvigorate us to make Him that central theme that He ought to be. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for what Christ has accomplished for us. Lord, I know how short I fall in my life. Lord, in Christ being the central theme, but I pray this morning, Lord, that You would work in each one of our lives and that we would get a renewed vision for what Christ can accomplish. Lord, as we will make Him our central, the central theme of our message and of our ministry. Lord, that all that we do would be for Him. Lord, help us to get ourselves out of the way, that Christ might be exalted. Wonder if heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. First of all, I wonder, is the Lord Jesus Christ, is He your Lord and Savior this morning? You say, you know, Pastor John, I don't know for sure if I've been saved from my sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior this morning. And I'm unsure of my salvation. I don't have that joy in my life because I haven't drawn water out of the wells of salvation. Is there anyone like that this morning? The Lord is working your heart in that area. I wonder this morning, are you a believer? Maybe your message has gotten a little off kilter. Maybe there hasn't been a message. Maybe it's your ministry has become more about yourself. Maybe it's been your focuses rather than what Christ would want you to focus on. Maybe it's been for you rather than for Christ. Maybe the Holy Spirit just pinpointed something regarding that in your life this morning. You say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart. And I want to surrender that to Him today, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the main focus of my ministry and of my message today. Is there anyone like that today? The Lord has worked in your life in that area. All right, is there anyone else today? God's worked in your life. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just pray that You would work in our hearts. We thank You for what Christ has done. Lord, may our lives impact others for the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray in His name.